This is a spiritual reading being given for Kenneth Killeen on Saturday, the 19th of February 2022, in Victoria, Australia, by John Rawson. We stand within the hall of memory. We hold within our hands the Book of the Soul. And the Book of the Soul, Kenneth, is a metaphor. It is a metaphor for all the incarnations that the soul has entered into since it first entered the physical plane many hundreds of thousands of years ago. Now, the soul book has certain characteristics, and these characteristics, or some of them, show on the cover of the book. And the cover of the book represents the original nature of the soul, if you like. It represents the spiritual spheres that it entered from, and the unique characteristics that it carries with it. And these characteristics will express in almost every incarnation, sometimes more powerfully, sometimes less. The initial characteristic or tray of the book as we hold it is that the cover has a colour, and the colour is blue. Now, the blues radiate out in a gradient from lighter blues into deeper blues until it merges into indigos at the edges of the cover. And blue is the colour, really it's the colour of God, the colour of spirit, and indicates that the memory of spirit, the memory of your sojourn within the spiritual worlds, is very strongly alive within you, and that in many incarnations we will perceive the soul endeavouring to reconnect with spirit. Sometimes this is in conventional ways, example, incarnations as a monk or a priest or a yogi or someone who is connected with religion, but just as often it comes out in more informal ways. And one of the characteristics of blue, the blues, is a longing for beauty. Because beauty is a connection with the spiritual worlds. And no wonder Plato called the beautiful and the good as the same. So that from life to life, there's also a striving after beauty, after creating beauty, not just in yourself, but in the world around you, and sometimes within the souls of others. And I suspect that characteristic of the soul is strongly manifested within this life. The second characteristic of the book that we see on the cover is a symbol. And the symbol is a very interesting one. It shows a shower of golden coins, or a shower of golden, I'll call them coins, descending upon a sleeping naked woman. Now, I'm not sure how familiar you are with Greek myth, but this depicts the descent of Zeus as a shower of golden coins upon the nymph Danae. And the sleeping naked woman represents the soul. The gold coming from the heavens represents the entry of certain spiritual energies into the world, and they are the forces that vivify, energize, revive the soul. So that when you were coming into incarnation the first time, you saw that the souls of so many had already come into incarnation. You didn't rush into incarnation. You took quite a few thousands, perhaps 100,000 years to decide. You saw that the souls of so many were asleep, and you yearned to awaken these souls so that you entered in like a shower, like a golden shower, into the first incarnation, and of course with the best of intentions, but as happens, in the end your soul was also caught, but your soul never totally went to sleep, which is something to keep in mind. And the souls that didn't go to sleep, and this is in the first of all in the Lemurian period, and then later in the Atlantean period, well, I'll come to the Atlantean period in a moment, but in the Lemurian period, these souls became the initiates or the initiators in the temples in Lemuria. And then later in Atlantis, they became priests. And in Atlantis, some very often the priesthood and the kingship were one and the same. So that therefore your soul was attracted to those roles where it was an awakener and a restorer of souls. The third aspect of the book as we see it here is that it has a title. The title is in beautiful gold lettering, and I would translate it as the shower of gold. So you can see that the symbolism of the image, of the symbol on the cover, is an expression of the name of the soul, the name which it bore when it first came into incarnation. Now we open the soul book, and it opens to the current incarnation. And here we see on the open book on the right page and on the left page that the soul is describing what this incarnation is about. So on the right hand side we see a picture of the soul, and on the left hand side we see the story of the soul. Now the picture of the soul is colour. The soul expresses itself through the medium of colour. It also expresses itself through music and through harmonies. But since I can't have no way of recording the soul harmonies, it would not make a great deal of sense to give you a reading in terms of your soul harmony, except to say that it's in terms of a major chord. But the picture of the soul in colours is the aura. And the aura is acquired by the soul over all its incarnations, and that experiences become expressed in later incarnations as soul colours. And sometimes they're dark because they are a dark, difficult, painful experience, and at other times they are light. And as we move along the spiritual path, more and more the colours become light, and especially the colours above the heart. They should become filled with radiance. And your colours have that, they're beautifully light. And the darker colours are below, basically below about the adrenals levels, indicating that we are in the midst of transforming our animal nature, our astral, if you like. And the more strongly the light shines through, the more strongly the Christ is manifesting through the soul to transform the astral and then later the etheric. The colours as we see them at present are as follows. The first colour is a light yellow with a light yellow brown, indicating strong mental faculties, good thinking abilities, ability to communicate, to talk to people. And that goes well with the second colour, which is a light red. And light red is warmth, openness, connection, energy. It represents the outward movement of the soul to connect with others. When you have light red, then you are a people person. You can make connections with other souls. And when you have the yellow and the light red, it gives a special skill because that's quite a rare individual, but that's an individual who can create community, who can attract other souls towards them. And not everyone can do this because to really make a connection with another soul, you first of all need to put them in a space where they feel that you're open to them so they can be open to you. And that's what the light red does. And every person who has light red does it in a different way. But if light red is expressed, then it's the most convivial, warm soul expression. Reverend Murray used to say he loved people with light red. He got along really well with them. The yellow, on the other hand, and it's not a pure yellow, which is just as well because you'd probably be too spiritual for any earthly use if it was pure yellow, but the yellow with a little bit of brown in it means that you can talk to people, you can communicate with them. And the yellow and the red means that you can talk to people on a level that they can understand. You don't have to talk down to people. You are a great communicator. And of course, the two colors together make for a great teacher. So I would imagine that teaching in many forms is part of your life because it's part of who you are. It's part of the way that the soul has chosen in this incarnation to bring the gold, so to speak. And the title on the soul book cover, which I translated as the Shower of Gold, could equally well be translated as the Bringer of Gold. And that is interesting because it has a very specific meaning within the order of Melchizedek, which we've hopefully we'll come to later. So first color, light yellow with brownish tinge. Second color, light red. Third color, blue. And this is a defined third color. So it's quite a deep blue, which is associated with your soul color. That's the color on the Book of the Soul. But it's interesting that the color manifests as a third color, which means that you have chosen not to tread the path of conventional religion in this life. But still, you are about spiritual expression, and also, as I indicated earlier, the expression of beauty within your life. We'll come back to that. The colour around the hands is not quite discernible to me, because all I can see there is that your hands have something like golden coins on them. So I wouldn't exactly call your hands golden, but it indicates a purpose within the life. The hands represent what you have to give, and you have the gold to give. And the gold, of course, means many things, but really it means wisdom, and it means connection to spirit, a particular manifestation of spirit, of course. Around the feet, greens. Deeper reds round the gonads, the adrenals, the heart, indicate their strong emotional eddies and turbulences working within life at times, strong sexual energies that need to be expressed and released, in which the expression of that's going to give you certain, bring certain problems within the story of this life. We'll look at some reasons for that later. The colour within the head, a yellow brown, but this is more brown than yellow. So interesting that the first colour is light yellow with a brownish tinge, but inside the head is a yellow brown, and the yellow brown inside the head represents how you have chosen to use your mind. And when you've got yellow brown there, there's a lot of organization going on in your life. There's a lot of down to earth, getting backwards and forwards with people, making arrangements, setting out projects, setting out goals, perhaps writing, lots of communicating, talking, interaction with people all the time. The color from the shoulders is orange. And that's interesting, because it's orange with streaks of purple inside it, and that's a very rare expression, that the colour has a twofold purpose, although I can understand the purpose. But it's orange with, as it were, if you can imagine that the colours from the shoulders go up and then they almost come down behind you like wings. And of course, we can't depict this in the aura chart, and Melody's going to put, show the colours coming off the shoulders orange with sort of purple feathering at the end, I would think. But it indicates a merging of two soul expressions, which we will come to. The vortex, gold, very rare, but indicates that the greater wisdom is coming to you later in this life. The cosmic colours, as we see them at present, above the head, purples. Below the feet, greens, and the cosmic colours are not part of the aura, but they may well become connected with the aura in years to come if you make use of the qualities that they represent. Then there are certain symbols within the aura. On the left-hand side, beside your feet, is a lamb standing on a book with seven seals, not sitting, but standing. In front of you is something like a spotlight, the old-fashioned searchlight. And you're staring into that, and it's so bright that you can hardly see. Then on the right-hand side, there's an image of you looking out over a field of sheep. And the images represent certain energies within the aura. The ones on the left-hand side perhaps are unconscious, the ones in the middle are what you're coping with, the ones on the right are to are goals and ideals that you see for yourself in the future. The final aspect of the aura is the symbol of the over-self, and that hovers above the head, about 3 to 4 inches in your case. And the symbol is a Bunsen burner. It's burning with a yellow flame, just a tinge of blue in there, but a yellow flame. And the symbol is a communication from the real self and depicts a process within life. And it changes as you yourself grow and evolve. So that is the picture of the aura. Now on the left-hand side is what we might call the story of the aura. And the soul has created this story, this narrative, in the form of a short verse. And the verse represents the purposes for incarnation. And of course you've got lots of purposes for incarnating. There's all the karmic reasons, the meeting with people, the balancing of the karmic slate. But the soul came into incarnation with definite achievements in mind, definite tasks in mind. And the title, it's as I see it, the story is in a little poem. The title is The Teacher. And the first line is to gather the strayed souls. To gather the strayed souls. And the second line, to lead souls out of the underworld. To lead souls out of the underworld. And the third line is to give the gold. So the soul is telling us a story here in three lines, three stages, three phases of your life. To gather the strayed souls, to lead souls out of the underworld, and to give the gold. And it tends to be a temporal procession. So the first part of that purpose is to gather the souls together. And the second is to lead them out of the underworld. And it's only now, I think, that you're coming to the third stage where you can give the gold. Now, we'll return for a moment to the picture of the soul in terms of the aura. The first colour is light yellow with a tinge of brown. And as I've already indicated, that is associated with someone who thinks very well, good thinking abilities, not really an academic, for which you might be grateful actually, but rather someone who can convert abstract thought into concrete expression. So it's also to do with building. It's interesting that you had an incarnation, I think about the 5th century, in Byzantium, where you were associated there with building the Hagia Sophia, the Church of Saint Sophia, the Church of Wisdom, which was going to be the marvel of the world. It had the hugest dome in existence. And although perhaps the architects were not quite aware of it, the purpose of the Saint Sophia and building it in that form was to capture and concentrate the energies of spirit. And the church itself was a memory of the buildings in Atlantis, the temples in Atlantis, which also had the domed roofs. And so there you worked, actually you worked in a number of roles. You sort of started off as an apprentice. I see you carrying loads of bricks or stones or mixing mortar. But then later on, I see you standing with a paintbrush and painting. I think you're creating mosaics or creating images, icons on the wall, inscriptions. So, associated with two phases of building the church, first the physical element, and the second the artistic beautification process. So that within your life, you would combine these two things. You're perfectly happy to get in there with your hands and start building. And I don't just mean this in a metaphorical way, although I'm sure you've done that as well, but in a physical way, that you would build from the ground up. And I could see you creating perhaps buildings, but landscapes, gardens, I don't know why, but I can see a sundial in the middle of a very ornamental garden with a sort of a path in it. And you have the ability to create on a physical level and to bring things into manifestation on a physical level. And always, together with this, you want to bring beauty into the world. You need to live in beautiful surroundings. When you have blue as that third colour, it's very sensitive. And for you to, say, live in a city or a noisy environment would be really, really difficult. It would be very hard on the nervous system. Another incarnation, this time in about the 14th century, I think, in China. And here we see you as sort of a nobleman. You have a number of roles here. You're the local magistrate, so that you see cases. You also oversee a region of China. And I can't tell you where that is, but it's got a big river running through it, and the river runs through huge cliffs. But you are in a garden, and as I see you are painting. You're painting something, sort of a landscape with trees in it. That's all I can see. Very light, very delicate. And then underneath you're writing a poem. It's very what the noblemen did. They were very artistic. It was considered a sign of breeding to be able to write poetry and beautiful calligraphy. In that incarnation, you were married, but you were more fond of your concubine. You spent more time with her than with your wife. But your concubine in that incarnation didn't have any legal status, whereas your wife did. And it would be interesting in this incarnation, I wonder where those two people have come back into your life, because in this incarnation it may well be that you've met these two ladies within this incarnation. One of them would definitely be in a female body, and that person is probably the person that you would be married to in this incarnation. But because that person was very suppressed as the concubine, they were all about looking after you and making sure that you were comfortable and tending to your needs. In this incarnation, they would probably have a very strong sense of independence, and there would be a strong interpersonal relationships. I wouldn't say exactly conflicts, although strong interpersonal energetic dynamics, to put it politely. And yet that's can be a very positive thing, because in this incarnation you needed to allow this person to be independent and to become very strong, although they're probably very strong in their own right anyway. And they may or may not want to go with what, they may not have the same vision for the future, or the same spiritual understanding, or the same spiritual vision, but they will have their own spiritual vision and will strongly claim that spiritual vision, or that sense of destiny, or sense of who they are in this lifetime. Incarnation in Egypt, about 1500 years before Christ, where you are an architect building the pyramids there, directing, I see you standing there looking at plans and interpreting the plans to the overseers of the builders and the workmen. Also, as well as being an architect, you were also a priest. And you had a number of jobs as a priest. One was to organize the supplies for the workers, and you you oversaw the farms that the temple owned huge properties where grain and other produce was grown and produced and brought into the temple, and it was your job to put that out so that the workers had quantities of grain and wine, or actually I think a sort of a beer. And you oversaw the workshops as well. Oh, you were very busy in that incarnation. No wonder you should be good at keeping your mind on a multiple number of different things, and it's what we would call multitasking now. That's not really multitasking. It's more being able to look at things in a sequential line and prioritize what needs to be done. And often, when you've had this, it means that you have the capability of working very hard and creating. It's as though you never stop working. I'm sure you do, but it's you have that nature where if you weren't persuaded sometimes to relax and to stop, you might just keep going. The light reds, as I've indicated, represent energy, ability to connect and communicate, also strong sensualities, need to touch, to feel, to be visceral in your experience of life, to grab life with your hands. I don't know what you do in this incarnation, except I believe, Kenneth, that you're a teacher, but it's as though you would be great with stuff like pottery or sculpture or things where you're really using your hands to, if you'll excuse the pun, in a hands-on way to create, to create objects. Incarnation in France in the 19th century, the early part of the 19th century, we see you here as a priest, a Catholic priest, and you had an affair there with one of the nuns in the convent. You used to go in and out of the convent, and you were the confessor to the nuns, and you had an affair with one of these nuns, which was a betrayal of your vow and also a betrayal of her vows. Not that there's anything wrong with sex, but what was wrong was not that you had sex, but that you broke your vows of celibacy. And it's the breaking of the vow that creates karma. So, in that incarnation, that person, the nun, became pregnant, but didn't carry the child. She had a miscarriage. And so the child was lost. And you were actually quite relieved because you thought you could cover up the affair. But the minister, the bishop, who happened to be a certain, in this incarnation, a certain Reverend Mario, that bishop knew and sent you off to the remotest little village he could find in the diocese. So you went from a position of importance in the city of Lyon to a remote village in the mountains of the hills of South France. And yet, in a sense, that was good for you. The bishop probably knew what he was doing, because in the silence and in the humbleness of tending to souls, you were able to heal your soul from the scar of the breaking of the vows. And in this incarnation again, you would probably encounter this person. There might be a strong sexual relationship with them, and there would be almost an antagonism, but also a strong attraction. And it would work out, the karma would work out, if you were able to work with this person and create something together in this life. The blues indicate your kinship with spirit. Reverend Murray used to say that blue is the colour of God, and that people who have that colour strong within the aura are natural mystics. It's interesting that you've had lives where you've been very contemplative. You've been able to retire from the world. Had an incarnation in Tibet where you were a hermit, lived on the mountain, hardly saw anyone. Life was dedicated to meditation, to spiritual practice. Every so often you'd descend down the mountain into the village and you'd assist a soul that was dying. You had the ability to telepathically or in thought accompany the dying soul through this bardo processes, the stages of passing through the afterlife. And it's interesting actually that you have a connection with souls within the afterlife. You had an incarnation in Mexico about the first century, in fact, at the first century, and you met Christ there. Now, when I say you met Christ there, I don't mean that you met him in a physical body, because Christ lived in Palestine, you were living in Mexico. But you had an encounter with the spiritual body of Christ. And you were a priest in that incarnation, again. You were a priest of Quetzalcoatl, I think that's the right way to pronounce it, the feathered god, which in a sense was a connection to the sun god, or the god of the sun. So you were connected there to the Melchizedek order, or your connection to the Melchizedek order linked you into this incarnation. So Christ came to Mexico because Christ needed to enter into the underworld, and that's where the entry point was. The reasons for that are beyond this reading, unfortunately. But you accompanied Christ in spirit into the underworld. You, as it were, held a lamp. And Christ went in to take out the souls who had been imprisoned there since the days of Noah, as St. Peter puts it, meaning those souls that had been trapped since the Atlantean days. And Christ didn't take all the souls out, but what Christ did was take away the manacles that kept souls there, and from there on, those souls could come back into incarnation. Now, there are still souls that feel they have to return to the underworld after they leave this life. That they are still held by the bonds of memory and by their connection to the nature spirits of the earth and what we might almost call the gods of the earth. And there is still a role for certain souls in this life to be able to enter into that consciousness, show the light, and assist them to come into the light. So that some of these souls are today, they seem to be may seem to be very spiritual people. They may have all sorts of weird and wonderful spiritual beliefs, maybe very New Agey. New Age is very often very Atlantean, by the way. But they may have a great connection with the earth. And it's great to have a connection with the earth, but it's only our bodies that are of the earth. As the Orphic Mysteries would put it, I am a child of earth and of the starry heavens, but of heaven is my home. Now, you were an initiate of the Orphic Mysteries about the 4th century BC. And again, you were able to enter in to the underworld and assist souls to move on in a different sense than was the case, is the case now. And your job as the Orphic initiate was to remind souls that as well as having a physical body, they were also progeny of heavens, of the starry heavens, of the spiritual worlds, and their true home was in spirit. And in a sense, that's your job today, to say to souls that yes, you are a being of the earth, but you are also a spiritual being, and that your potential and your destiny as a spiritual being is so much greater than you could possibly imagine. And that, by the way, connects us with the first two lines of the verse. And the first line of the verse was to gather the strayed souls. And the second line was to lead souls out of the underworld. So this is what you've incarnated to do. Not to go and be a minister in an Orthodox religion or a bishop or a cardinal or anything like that, where you'd have the glory perhaps of being a spiritual leader, but rather that you would do this almost incognito, that you would be able to enter into the consciousness of souls, meet them where they're at, be on the same level, and actually then explain or then say to them almost casually, you know, there's more that we can do. I understand what you're doing, where you're at, but you know, we could do more. We could do more here. Oh, you've asked me about the community. Well, the Brotherhood says don't even bother. Don't bother about what happens. You can train whomever you like, and by all means train a few people up. But the Brotherhood has other plans for your community. It's so lovely to think that we would leave a memorial behind, an organisation, a community, a group of people who will continue what we started. But that's not the purpose of the Order of Melchizedek. The purpose of the Order of Melchizedek is to bring into humanity for a time a living energy, a living expression of Christ. Now, that's your job. The fact that you've created the community is simply the vehicle for you to do your work. And that, by the way, is the third line of the verse, to give the gold. Because the gold represents the forces of Christ. And if you remember the story of the three wise men, the three magi, who visited the infant Christ, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The frankincense represents those souls who, as you might say, have gone astray, that have been attracted by the sensuality of the world, and they have identified with the world. So that's your first group of souls. those souls have gone astray. You have to remind those souls that the world is a great place and sex is good. Drug, sex and rock and roll, it's all good. It's all part of life. But there's something beyond those, that sensual experience. That's the frankincense gift. The second gift is the gift of myrrh, and myrrh is the preservative. It preserves something in death. And that represents those souls who've gone into the underworld and have preserved an ancient Atlantean consciousness. And your work with them is to bring them out of the tomb, so to speak, to awaken their own Christ self within them. Now, if you do that, what you do is you haven't got a community any longer. What you've got is a set of individuals. People who all say, oh, I am an individual, therefore I'm going to do such and such. I don't need to run with Kenneth. I don't need to run with this person. I don't need to run with the ICA or the RV. I don't need to run with anyone. I'm capable of doing it by myself. And yes, there is a truth to that. The third line is the clincher. And that's to give the gold, because the gift of gold that was brought by the Magi represents the new consciousness that Christ brought into the world. And in the new consciousness, we share a consciousness, so that you come from a group consciousness, which some of your people have been in, tribal consciousness. You free them from that, they become individuals. And then they get the chance to surrender what they consider their individuality to a greater consciousness still. Let's just take something off the top of my head, just out of the world. Let's take the anti-vaccination movement. This, in a sense, is an expression of individuality. These people say, I'm an individual, I'm going to do what I want, and I'm not going to have anything come into my physical body, which is a temple of something. And that's the expression of individuality. But the person who can go further and say, oh, I can do this simple little thing for the benefit of a whole community, a whole state, a whole country, a whole world, that is the person who has proceeded to enter into the consciousness of Christ. So your work is to try and somehow create the consciousness of Christ within your community and move people from being isolated, individualistic beings to sharing in the concept of service, giving and surrender. And that, if you can manage that, then you may get one or two people who grab that. If you get a few, then the community will continue after you've gone, but it will be reborn in a new and different form. The young people will come, but probably after you and I and our generation have, as you so nicely put it, shuffled off this mortal coil. Reverend Murray was once asked what happened to all the young people who used to come to the centre, and he said ruefully, well, we were younger then too. So it needs youth to attract the young. Young people are not going to come to old people. They regard us as irrelevant to what they're going through. They will relate to young people. And all we can, it's not our job to map out the road to the future. Our job is to walk the road that's been placed in front of us. And if we can do that, then part of that walking is to trust that Christ has all things in his hands. We used to sing a song at the centre, he holds the whole world in his hands. And that song is not a trite sentimental metaphor, it's a reality. So part of our work as leaders and teachers is to actually embrace that Christ knows what the hell he's doing. Trust that. The orange from the shoulders, as I've already indicated, a very unusual expression. The orange is your association with Christ and with the order of Melchizedek, and the sun beings, and you were sealed in the temple in Atlantis by Reverend Mario, of course. And in this incarnation, you needed to be unsealed, which I believe Stephen has done for you. And that gradually releases certain potentials, certain abilities and directions within the soul, certain energies. And it should clarify for you your path in this incarnation. And I think this is going to be a testing year for you, by the way. I think this is a year when you can be blinded by a strong light that's being shone upon you. That there is at time pain, probably real experience of real emotional pain, and having to actually bring out of the soul certain experiences relating to the feminine, relating to how you respond to people, especially how you respond to women. There's a really searching period in your relationships with women, or perhaps a particular woman in your life in this year. Particularly at the moment, it will fade away, it will become lighter, and then it will return until at the end of the year you move into a new phase. At the moment you've been moving through quite a heavy phase in your life. It's a real soul-searching phase. It's what's my connection to my purpose? What is my purpose? It's a need for deep occult understanding and deep occult knowledge. And from next year you'll enter into a new phase of teaching, a new phase of communicating with people. Great time to write. Perhaps you'll engage in more study, in study in a deeper level, perhaps on a more spiritual level. And as you progress through the next 3-4 years, there is a lightening of your inner world, your inner emotional experiences, and an opening up and a clarification of your path. You've asked how you can strengthen your connection to the Brotherhood. Reverend Mario also had another song that he liked to sing to his priests in particular, and it went like this: trust and obey, there is no other way. And although he sang it with his tongue in his cheek, he also meant it, that it's we don't get to plan. We don't get to have brilliant ideas. What we do get to do is listen. You know, clairvoyance is associated with two human faculties. One is the ability to perceive, which is why Reverend Mario said, in developing clairvoyance, we first perceive self. And then the seal on clairvoyance that which opens us up and initiates us into the new clairvoyance is the perception of Christ in the etheric. Now that is something that you can't work towards. That's something that you might long for, and it will appear to you at the perfect time. But the second faculty is the faculty of hearing. And the more we practice hearing and listening to other souls, listening to what the world is saying to us, listening to the way that the Brotherhood changes certain aspects of life, and it's a listening thing, the stronger our understanding of purpose becomes. So if you want to strengthen your connection with the Brotherhood, just listen. And I'm sure you do all the other practices that Reverend Mario recommended to the first free priest. He recommended doing the Eucharist on a regular basis. He recommended reading the Gospels every day. He recommended studying the mysteries, and he said to the free priests, by studying the mysteries, I don't mean studying Steiner. I mean studying the mysteries of the world around you, the mystery of the little baby as you hold that in your hands, the mystery of the way that the trees grow and the wind blows. These are the mysteries I want you to study as a priest. And as we study these mysteries and allow ourselves to become open to the narrative that they have with us, so we become closer and closer to the Brotherhood, and we become more and more able to clearly discern the next task that's being placed in front of us. And I think your next task, by the way, has got a lot of teaching to do with it. You may find that you're moving around. You may find you need to go overseas as a pilgrimage almost to revive the soul. Of course, not this year, perhaps not next year, but perhaps the year after in 2024. So the orange is your connection with Christ. The purple at the edge of the wings indicates the coming into existence of your priesthood, that the priesthood is being given back to you in this incarnation, and that as you continue your life, and you continue it as a life of service to Christ, so the priesthood descends upon you, which is the meaning of the purple cosmic colour above the head. The greens below the feet means that you're going to make changes. And those sort of superficial changes around you, changes to routines, you're going to just want to change some things around perhaps redo some of the garden, and you're going to get itchy feet. You're going to want to go somewhere in the next couple of years. The gold vortex indicates to me that the greater understanding of the order will be poured into you over the next 7 years. That more and more the priesthood and the vehicle that you become for Christ become more and more an experience of daily consciousness and less an intellectual understanding, until in the end they become one and the same. The images in the aura on the left hand side, we have the Lamb standing on the book with the seven seals. And you would know that the book of seven seals in Revelation represents the body with the seven spiritual centres. And the Lamb represents Christ who unseals it. And the Lamb standing, because it's not ready to sit yet. So you're in the midst of that process, that the spiritual centres have been unsealed. And it takes 7 years for that process to be complete and for Christ to work freely through the centres. The spotlight in front of you that is so bright that you can hardly see means that you're unable to see at the moment what is directly in front of you because there's so much light. And sometimes light can be blinding. Sometimes we need to turn the spotlight off of ourselves so that we can perceive what lies behind the spotlight. So what lies behind the concern and focus on self? When we turn that focus on self off, then we become genuinely clear-sighted. And the lovely image on the right shows you as an old-fashioned shepherd with a crook looking after a flock of sheep, definitely taking on the role of St. Peter, who Christ told to tend his flock, tend my sheep, and shows that in the years to come that your job is still to work with your community. And it's in more of the role of the shepherd, where although you'll still be a teacher, you'll be more available to people as a guide and as a person who can show them boundaries and who can lead them to places in their spiritual life where they can receive nurture and nourishment. The symbol of the over-self is the Bunsen burner, which is above your head. It's on yellow. Well, I'm sure you know about Bunsen burners. You have to turn that dial around the bottom if you want to heat that flame up. And that flame should have lots more oxygen in it. It needs to be turned up until it's blue hot. And that indicates that in time to come, your intellect and your understanding, which is what the flame represents, and your guidance to people will become tuned. You'll become attuned. And your perception of souls will become so much sharper. You'll be able to cut through the bullshit like a flame through soft butter. You'll be able to discern the pain in other souls. You'll be able to discern the strategies that you need to work with them. And in the end, your task for this incarnation is to give the gold. And I hope that one of the meanings for that is that you, in your turn, will ordain more priests into the order of Melchizedek. There is very limited time where people can be ordained and reconnected with the order. And you will have the gifts, the insight, and the power to do that within your life. Time is not now, but the time should come when that power is given to you. And then indeed you'll be the shepherd, be the bishop if you like, which comes from the word for shepherd in Greek. But you'll be the teacher, not just in the sense of teaching concepts and understandings, valuable though they are, but in the sense of teaching souls the path to their own inner light, their own individuality, their own Christ self. And that would be a great task. So shall it be.